GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Team, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out what your home is worth online instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com. This is the George Hill Rick Tyler Show. G, joining us in SS7A, Dale Rowley, Waldo County Emergency Management and part of the Waldo County Ham Operators. Tell us about the event that's coming up June 28th and 29th.
Yes, yeah, so every year, the ARRL, which is the Ham Radio Association for the United States, they hold a national contest on contacts for amateur radio, and they have to be out in the field. That's why they call it Field Day. They have to be off-grid. Grid and operating, and they try to see how many contacts they can make around the country.
You literally bring your gear, you set up, and you talk to others all around the
United States, the world, Canada.
Yep. And depending, I guess, depending on what time of day it is or night, you can actually skip off the ionosphere and talk to people on the other side of the planet.
You could. It's primarily a U.S.-based operation that they're doing that weekend, the 28th and 29th.
You spend a lot of money in your equipment.
Well, actually, you know, because I'm emergency management also, and anything that gets labeled public safety usually gets tripled in price. So a lot of times we use amateur radio equipment to kind of substitute the emergency management equipment because it is much cheaper.
Let me ask you, because you just put your emergency management hat on in the conversation, I wonder, when's the last time that the state in an emergency situation or a county has been able to reach to the community of ham operators who, as we understand, are always ready to stand up and do their part to help out?
Well, at least in our county, we use them on a regular basis. Whenever we have a winter storm coming through, they set up a storm net, and they collect weather information from around the county, and it gets all shipped off to the National Weather Service. So they have that real-time, you know, field data. Helps them out quite a bit there. We've used them from incidents where many times public safety radios get jammed up with too much traffic, and they'll pass information like shelter information. If we're opening a Red Cross shelter, they'll pass it to where it needs to go.
You operate in a number of different bands, HF, UHF, VHF. What's the most common?
Well, for a field day, it'll be primarily HF because, again, they're trying to talk around the country. UHF and VHF is more a local type communications, and we have repeaters up a lot of places. And that we use that a lot for our emergency management side of things, the UHF and VHF. And we do weekly radio nets, for example. We get as many people to check in and from around that we can use during an emergency. But HF primarily for field day.
The ARRL Field Day, an emergency management open house, we're going to pair those together in a moment, is coming on June 28th and 29th. Events start both days at noon, we understand.
Correct.
And where are people gathering?
So it's going to be at the Waldo County Emergency Management Agency site. It's at 685 Swan Lake Avenue, Swanville. And it's on Route 141, just south of the Swan Lake Grocery. If you're familiar with that.
Best little store by a dam site, yes.
Yes. Yep. And we have 60 acres out there the county owns. Oh. And they'll be operating on the backside of the property.
Mm-hmm. How do you power everybody?
Well, we use solar panels and batteries, a little bit of generators, but you earn more points if you're not even using a gasoline-generated device. They operate mostly off batteries.
Yeah.
If you work in the radio and television business, you eventually come across the engineering department.
Yeah.
And many of the engineers,
yes.
Although we don't have as many engineers as we once had because of solid state, but that's how I really spend a lot of time hearing about ham, which used to be a derogatory term.
Yep.
It once was, you were ham-fisted, you were an amateur, but that became a badge of honor, really.
Well, at one point in time, the Americans got labeled Yankees by the British, and we took it on as a thing of endearment. Amateur radio is very technical. I'm not, but I get into the voice part of it. Mm-hmm. But most amateur radio operators love the technology part of it, you know, even if it's old technology. And so I can understand why the engineers would be heavily involved.
They knew what tubes were.
Correct.
These young people don't know what tubes are.
No, we took our last radio offline that had tubes in it probably about 20 years ago.
So along with the Field Day event and the, it's interesting that it's actually a contest to see how many people you can reach in the situation. There's also the open house for Waldo County Emergency Management. What's the attraction inside there?
So it was kind of a thing where we're trying to see if we could attract more people to the amateur radio side. And I said, well, how about if we combine it with another activity? And so we're having an open house showing off our new facility. And, mm-hmm. and we have various volunteer teams like search and rescue and pet shelters and of course, the amateur radio. And so we're having a lot of these different organizations have a table set up there. They may have trailers set up with equipment.
Yep.
We're going to have a barbecue, free barbecue for the public.
Okay, now you just got everybody's attention.
That's what I was hoping for.
The people love their hobby.
Yep.
And they being the ham operators, have saved a lot of lives.
One of the great examples of what amateur radio has done is out west with the wildfires. They have been able to get people evacuated, and they have found people lost, you know, who were calling in on a radio who had gotten injured in the woods. They picked up that signal, and they got help there. There's lots of different instances where amateur radio operators have helped to save lives.
Not only are they portable, but they're fast. And as we understand it, you could really get a ham radio set up and operating within, I'm going to guess, minutes.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, we have a ham radio truck. It's an old ambulance that we've converted. Mm-hmm. And the minute that truck goes out the door, they can have a radio operator sitting in the old jump seat running a radio station. And it's all on batteries, and they're functioning as they're driving down the street.
Wow. Does it have the big whip antenna on the top?
They have some big antennas, but most of the big antennas, they put on masts that they put up into the air and they hang on the back of the truck. But they have small wire antennas on the truck that they use while they're moving.
A listener asks this question, what's the difference between a CB radio and a ham-operated radio?
So a CB radio operates in a very, very limited band. It's also two-way. You don't need a license anymore for CB. And it's pretty much not regulated.
So wild, wild west. Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, there used to be a time when you needed a radio operator's license.
Yes.
To operate a telephone, which was very foreign to us. This person wants to know, how do they deal with signal obstruction, such as mountains, and what's the furthest line of sight that a signal can travel?
So for obstructions, for local HF, for VHF, UHF, a lot of times they'll use repeaters, a repeater up on a mountain, and they'll hit the repeater and get around that obstruction. In the case of HF, they're bouncing their signal off the atmosphere, so there really is no obstructions. Ground obstructions, that's an issue. And depending on how high the antenna is off the ground, a horizontal antenna, how long the antenna is, how it's tuned, they can talk down the street or they can talk around the world.
Using the ionosphere to bounce your signals off, you operate probably 20 meters?
20, 40, 80. Okay.
What's the biggest distance you've ever captured?
I know some of our radio operators from our radio room have communicated with folks in Asia, a lot in Europe. That seems to be the big thing for us is to be able to hit, especially into Eastern Europe, quite a lot of that. Now, in emergency management, we don't have a big need to talk to Europe or Asia, but the amateur radio operators love to do that. And if it convinces them to come into our office and do that, then they're more likely to come in during a snowstorm and help us out.
Right. My dad did it back in the 1970s, had a little setup in our basement in Presque Isle, and he would delight when he could talk to someone on the other side of the world, and then they'd send postcards to each other.
Yep.
With their call signs, the, you know, CQDX or whatever you say. I can't remember the, you know, Squad 51 KMT365, but they used to send the postcards, and people would collect them, and it would be really this impressive display of these people that you've contacted with this seemingly amateurish but rather expensive at times hobby.
Yeah. Now, they still do that. Most of it's, though, internet-based, so it's usually a digital-type postcard that pass around because it is expense to send those. But we do still get them, and we still send them out to folks that ask.
And it doesn't feel, and today we have computers that can connect. Yeah. And so some might think this is a little antiquated, but to them you say, Dale, what?
Well, you know, the recent events in North Carolina with the storms, you know, they lost all communications. The only, I was told by the communications officer for that office down there that basically broadcast radio, amateur radio, and satellite phone were the only way they were able to get information spread around.
Yeah.
So June 28th, 29th, big doings for you.
Yeah, we'll have posters out and signs out and road markers out, and we have plenty of parking.
And anyone can swing by. And
anytime.
You don't have to be a ham operator, too.
No. As a matter of fact, open house is going to be running from 10 to 2, mm-hmm. but the amateur radio starts at noon on Saturday and runs for 24 hours. They operate overnight.
See, we had the same question in our heads, and a listener has just sent it. In the event of the EMP attack, and for those that don't know, electromagnetic pulse. And if you've seen the movies and seen the TV shows, you know, it's a little boom, and the grid goes down. Will the ham operators still be able to transmit?
So any equipment that's not protected could get damaged, but we actually do protection for our equipment that's operating, and we also have backup equipment in Faraday cages so that if something happens, we can get spare equipment out and be back up and running.
You got Faraday cages on site at the...
Faraday bags, Faraday cages. We've got some, they look like Pelican cases, but they're Faraday cases.
Yep.
We've got some of those filled with radios. So if we were to have an EMP, we would be back up and operating afterwards.
That's why we have you on speed dialer.
You never know where.
Of course, the cell phone's not going to work.
No, and we may only be able to communicate by two-way radio.
Yeah.
You just never know when one of those pesky hurricanes will come up the main coast.
Correct. Yep.
This is the start of hurricane season, by the way.
Yes. Yep. And when they had Hurricane Katrina, the only way they were able to communicate was by satellite phone and by amateur radio.
How much would it cost to get hooked up as a ham operator? What do you think?
Ballpark. Well, it's $30 for the license, and you can get a radio for $100, a handheld. You're not going to do an HF that way. It's going to be local stuff. But an HF radio might put you back anywhere from $500 to $1,000.
Where are you getting that? They're not at Service Merchandise these days, I don't think.
There's a place called Ham Radio Outlet, HRO. Oh, my God. My staff that are radio folks, they shop there like my wife shops, you know, at
TJ Maxx and Marshall's.
At Walmart.
Yeah, Walmart, okay.
And for folks who want to just try out radio, there's also GMRS. And that, you need a license, but you don't need a test to do.
GMRS.
General Mobile Radio Service. The little walkie-talkies that you can buy are family radio service, and they actually operate in the same frequencies.
GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Team, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out what your home is worth online instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com.